Of course the angels dance. If not on the head of a pin, then maybe on the boardwalk along the ocean of stars. And they eat, hot and spicy, salsa, Tabasco, red peppers. They can munch for hours on cashews. Olives sit in bronze bowls on the cherry tables next to their canopy beds, and the solace of pillows swallows their sweet heads, and the quiet of silk lies across their happy backs. They know the altruism of material things. They want to say to us, we'll sleep next to you. Feel our soft and unimposing flutter across your shoulders, on your heartbroken feet. They want us to take, eat, to smell the wood, to run our fingers over the rim of every glass, give our eyes the chance to see the way the metal bends and serves its way into the black oval of the chair. They want us to feel the holiness of scratches where it itches, rubbing where it hurts. They want us to take long, steamy showers and a nap. They know how easily we follow directions, hook the red wire to the front of the furnace, fill in only the top half of the insurance form. But they have no manuals for joy. They can't fix anything we break. And they wonder why we never laugh enough. Why we don't know God is crazy for deep massage and loves to wail on his alto sax whenever they dance. Thank you for inviting me back. I couldn't get it to snow again today, so keep me from being terrified of you. Thank you, Valerie and Leslie, and thank you all for being here. When I do one of these so-called talks, they're really collages. So if you get lost, you'll just be lost with me. That's okay. My point of going to college was to be a minister. I was pre-seminary, and my advisor was also my contemporary theology professor, and he called me into his office one day and he said, "No, you are not going to seminary." And I said, "You can't tell me what to do, for heaven's sakes." And this was Jack Rogers, who became quite influential in the Presbyterian world. And Jack said, "No, you're not going to seminary." I said, "I have all A's." "You're not going to seminary." He said, "You have a very, very narrow notion of what being a minister is." And he said, "I want you to be a minister, but not seminary." He said, "If you were a pastor in a church, the first time they had the 3-hour meeting about what paint to use to color the nursery school, you would go out of your mind and run screaming from the church." And Jack was right. And it's so wonderful to be here where everybody is a minister. That's such a pleasant and relaxing place to be. I figure even if I screw it up, you'll be full of forgiveness. A question I carry with me always is, What does being religious require? And why in the world does it require a religion? I just don't see the connection. I had tenure at Hope otherwise that have gotten rid of me pretty fast. I faked them out for 7 years and then came out. Sometimes you have to be incredibly unethical in order to finally be ethical, you know. I always thought Jesus was one of the most unethical people in the world because of the times that he lived in, you know. But I don't see it. It seems to be culturally imposed that if you're religious, you must join some... or as we said when we first moved in 71 to Holland, Michigan, the first question is, what's your name? And the second is, do you have a church home? No, we're living down the street. I spent 5 stays in a total of 4 psychiatric hospitals because I believed there was something dangerously wrong with me because I couldn't make sense of the word believe. I have never been able to connect believing with being religious. We had a youth minister when I was in high school named Jerry Kirk. Isn't that wonderful? He even had the last name Kirk. And he culted us, about 5 of us, and I was the most culted. The others recovered, and I never really recovered. We did everything he wanted, everything he said, and he was in a church, a United Presbyterian Church. We prayed with him for 3 days a week, you know, to get all A's. And everything was, you had to say, you know, God, do you want me? God, do you want me to change the light bulbs? I mean, it was maddening. And it drove me mad. He abused us with the church. He created a cult. And to this day, there are times when I have small attacks of PTSD because of what he did in the name of saving us. I wish I knew back then, now, I'd like to have those years returned. The poem is called Recovery. It was too many years after the shock to even care what chapter and verse it was that opened up the innocent synapse into trauma that now, without a sign, erupts when least expected. Why would frying eggs or driving past a deer dead by the road pull the trigger, pull it every time for 32 years? Why? Because of hellfire religion, the evangelical, the literal, the certainty, the words of Calvin, Paul, or Augustine. It was like a mugging in a dark alley. It bloodied me and sent me into catatonic meditation. After 5 wards, 13 electroshocks, varied meds and therapists, my wife's steady look, it evaporated faster than my soft-spoken father's lack of answers. And now I lug the bin of birdseed, a spade and garden fork, stuff all my weather garden gloves in my back pocket, slap on the old ball cap and head out back, fill the feeders and find a place I had overlooked, push aside the mulch and start to dig. I'll fill the hole with what I'll find at Charlie and Ann's garden center. They always have something we don't yet have. And yet deciding without my partner's approval brings a leftover worry, up the back of my neck. Married 42 years should be proof enough, but trust often betrays my assurance, even though I know she will nod and be glad and say, "That's the perfect spot. How did you see it? I never would have." Maybe only another can see and assure our own vision, disappearing like each snowflake when it lands. But it's spring, enacting its metamorphosis, and I will return from Charlie and Anne's, carrying several plants we don't have, and a flat of varied annuals to fill the empty spaces in each pot. Then, after making sure each hole is deep enough, I'll pat the soil and set each plant, fill in around it, replace the mulch, and rake it smooth around the stems. With luck, I won't have to water. The air signaling the gray of these clouds will soon bring rain. I would believe I've added something good to a world I was taught was only evil, and unafraid, head back to the house to look out the window. I would begin my classes at Hope College by saying, look, let's just get this straight and get it out of the way right away. I am a heretic for Jesus. One of the most unfortunate things to happen to Jesus was the invention of Christianity, theology, dogma, doctrine, creed, the Greek translation when Jesus spoke Aramaic, the pick and choose Bible. Tell me, did Jesus know Calvin's Institutes? And what's the result of believing rather than listening? The poem's called On the Inhumane Hideaway of Objective Distance. And there is one of the many things that I think is more important than all these things that certain denominational, they're actually, we were talking earlier this morning, we really live in a country that's made of many countries, only these are called denominations. And we try not to have a war. We're getting close. On the inhumane hideaway of objective distance, my wife is at her spinning wheel. She first cleans, dries, and combs the fleece, then dyes the wool. She will spin yarn to make a shawl, stocking cap, socks. She disappears into her gentle quiet. I am a third of the way through reading 4 books, but I don't want to read any of them. I want what I know you want, to be happy. Actually, happy, to love in a happy world. Today there was yet another school shooting. Some students felt it coming. 3 kids who thought they were grown up, dead. 1 more thought likely to die, did. The others will live. The news dares to say, recover. Tonight we played Christmas carols for the first time this season. Yes, 'tis the season. This morning, surgeons at 3 different hospitals awakened, assuming yet another routine day of rounds and operations. When they were 17, did they imagine Advent would offer them the inevitable impossibility of saving the assumption of a future, that they would never again be able to say, Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year, without being caught in an ambush of memory. Tonight, thousands of parents will be unable to sleep, or tomorrow, or on into ever. Teachers who each day hope it will not, cannot happen again will think again about construction jobs or an office job. And guns, they will sleep in the garage, a cabinet on the top shelf. They will rest and be at the ready. No, I don't want to read. I don't want to hear again about God's mercy, the peace that comes from above, or meditation, Calvin's endlessly facile legacy of blame, the need for prayer and legislation. I am tired of pursuing happiness. I want to breathe it in as ubiquitous as air. And while we're at it, I want the curriculum revised to teach sentimentality, that it is not any more false feeling than the unguarded synapses in the shooter's brain. Scholars, put away the safety of secondary sources. Sit with your students. Abandon the inhumane hideaway of objective distance. Throw open your hearts. Let sentiment break our shielded souls before another rifle and surgeon's words have to. My wife never asks for the meaning. She sits in silence at her wheel, twisting the lamb's wool into yarn to knit whatever it takes to keep another warm. A dog is asleep, head on his paws. The twin sister cats curl together. I'm not going to pick up my books. I'm going to begin to trim the tree, wondering how many five-year-olds will sit on Santa's lap, and when he asks, "What do you want for Christmas?" will answer, "A gun." Too many pages screwed up here. I need to put this. I need three arms. That's what I need. Here we go. It's hard to be human. I didn't ask for anything I ended up getting blamed for. Did you ask for anger? Did you ask for hopelessness, grief, ignorance, envy? Of course not. But we get blamed for it. We're held responsible for it. It gets named sin. Do you know who Jesus paid the most attention to? Us, those backed against the wall. That's us. Consider the disciples. This is Bartholomew. Poor guy. Bartholomew has a little statement of his underneath the title. It says, "I never knew what was going on." He would say, "Follow," and we would. One word, his word, and we were turned into fools, letting him take us all that way. Why to this day we did, I don't know. Look how it ended. Look what it became. But what did we have to stay for? Nothing. There wasn't much work, nothing much to do. There were no news stories left, bread, fish. So we ended up with more bread, fish. But we did find story after story, and well, what else is there? I never did much along the way. Look it up. In the big deal painting, I'm the one who appears rather glassy-eyed. And believe me, it wasn't the wine. I just went along. Miracles had been done before. I will say again that it was words, his words. Words, imagine. Words had never done what his did. I'd listen. I wasn't much of a listener. Then later I would try to make sense of these words. I couldn't, but I could feel them. And then maybe that was it, how they got inside you and made you wonder and wrinkle. They got in my brain's garden and made it seem like the roots were above ground and all the flowers and vegetables, all the nourishing was now below. He reversed things. The first shall be last, the last first and all that, but it was how everything changed inside me when he said those things. It was what happened to me. I started looking at lepers and the poor and paid no attention anymore to the kings and scribes and Pharisees. I had thought the world of them. Now they seemed unimportant. And they're in their importance. See how hard it is to explain this stuff. You just started seeing everything with a new mind. You began to be drawn to a whole new world, and it was a world, like now, a world within a world, one drawing you in, the other imposing itself on you. Why am I telling you what you already know? Erosions, that's it. The reversal were erosions, and in what was left, I wanted to plant what didn't belong, lilies in fields. You might say, okay, whatever. And yet words did become flesh, my flesh. And my flesh, my body, held a different kingdom. It's a place that's a children's place. Now most of what I know really doesn't matter. Labor doesn't, and money and reason, and well, you make a list. He got me so confused. And then we'd head off worrying about how we would eat and where we'd sleep, and our feet were filthy. My God, we were always filthy. We stank. And then he'd go and point at birds or stalks of grain, even stop and have us kneel before a flower. And then he'd smile. And that haunts me still, that smile. And then he died. He brought out hate, not love. He had a terrifying sense of injustice. Nothing he said or did seemed impossible. Maybe that was it. It seemed possible. And then we're supposed to have a purpose. I need a drink. We're supposed to have a purpose and a meaning and be commended for having a work ethic, the Protestant work ethic. Well, let's consider what it's likely the most familiar parable, the Good Samaritan. Why did the first guys walk past? You probably know. They had meaning. They had a purpose. They had important work. They had a work ethic. And who did stop? The guy hated for being not like us. The guy who had no purpose, meaning, work ethic. There was that ne'er-do-well who stopped, that one who had no direction, no purpose at all. Again, it was so hard to be human. This is called On the Bus to Poland. Where's Daddy? I don't know. Tell me why you don't know. I don't know why I don't know. When will we know? I don't know. I wish I did. Does Daddy know where we are? You mean on this bus? Yes. I think he does. I hope he does. I'm hungry. I know. I'm thirsty, too. I know. Do we have anything? We will later, I hope. How much later? I don't know. Where are we going? A new country. Its name is Poland. Is it like where we live? Kind of. Are the people like us? I think so. Are they nice? I'm sure they must be. Does Daddy know we're going there? I think he does, yes. Will my friends be there when we get there? I'm hungry. I know you are. My friends, will they be there? I don't know. That would be nice. Did you bring Suzy? I did. Suzy's in that big bag. There are a lot of trees here. Yes, there really are. Believe? I will never be able really to understand believe, understand why it's important. And when you join, I remember I just walked away in the middle of joining a church as an adult when they said, we had to say, I believe in the, and I just froze. Just froze. And I thought a lot about that, and I thought about why did I freeze? And I think it was because I realized there were things that were more important that I couldn't believe. There were things that were higher. There were things more important. And that's how it seems here. It seems as if this is a, maybe not seems, it is a group of people who simply realized that there were, you'd like to say, take the creed of I love instead of I believe or I care. Yeah. And we come together. I remember starting my, or not, in the midst of classes sometimes, I'd say, what's the opposite of up? And everybody would yell, down. And I'd go, no, sideways. Why do we have that? Right? Kind of right. Maybe right. What's the opposite? Maybe it's maybe. Maybe it's I wish. Maybe it's I love. Maybe it's I care, I empathize. Empathy's such a wonderful thing. And that's why it's best to not read secondary sources in that one poem. And instead read the memoir, read the novel, listen to the music, listen to your music, listen to that Michigan girl. It brings out empathy. We go, my wife went like this as you were singing. She's a Michigan girl. That moment of connection. You know. So I'll finish with what I think really it is for me. And it feels like that in this room. Title of the poem is Let Us Break Bread Together on Our Knees. And the angel said unto thee, Go thou into your garden and plant creeping Jenny, alyssum, sweet woodruff to crawl across the earth, and herbs to bring culinary alchemy into each and every meal. Oregano, rosemary, lemon balm, chives, sage, and thyme. Then set deep into the soil two wisteria vines, three redbud trees, a butterfly bush, lupins, salvia, zinnias, 100 zinnias. Wait for the bees. Wait for the 20,000 kinds of bees, from bumble to honey to mason. Watch how they live in harmony, all humming as if they can trust one another. And the petals, stamens, the ways the flowers make their indifferent offerings of pollen. Be ever humble in your unknowing. Learn the intelligence of worm, vole, sparrow, spider, how none needs even a holy word to linger and work, becoming nothing more than what they are. Under the benign disregard of sky, the unpredictable nonchalance of weather, genuflect to the bees that ye may eat of the fruit of the land. Thank you.